The lesson today comes from the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and said, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. And from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all of the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west, shall be your territory. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to your ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong, be courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth, the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Doc. I can just kind of step down. The sermon's been preached. Amen to that? Let's give Doc a big hand. Thank you, Doc. You know, in all seriousness, Doc has a love for God's word, and we see that even in Joshua, do we not? That if you meditate on, the word becomes a part of you, you become fortified, you become courageous, and that's really important to the journey, so thanks for that. Did you hear that, and you understand that? For 40 long years, think of it, for 40 long years, the people of Israel failed to step out of that wilderness into the promised land. So I say it again, for 40 long years. And think of the promised land, if you will. It was an abundant land, we are told, plentiful. If I could have the pictures up here. A plentiful land of fruits and vegetables. An abundant land, of course, a rich grazing. Next picture, to graze and to provide vegetation for the herds that they may feed off the land, so to speak, and become fatted. And not only was it just kind of a good land for them to be to enjoy and to be enriched, but it was a good land of purpose too. Because when they crossed over into this promised land, the people, all the nations were to see these particular people, the Israelites, and see that there is a God among them, a one true living God. And they could then point to God, give glory to God by God's goodness and blessing, God's watchful eye upon them. And yet, for how long? 40 long years they wandered. And as I understand it, they could have crossed over in a matter of weeks. As God's beloved people, God calls us out from the wilderness of unbelief and sin. That's really what sin is. It's a matter of unbelief, not trusting God for God to be God. Calls us out from that wilderness into the promised land of really the fullness of life in Jesus Christ, which really is about, you know, the Spirit indwelling, the Spirit among us, blessing the truth of God's word, as Doc shared, into our hearts and our mind, the truth of his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, his abiding presence. We talk about the promised land of the family of God. God calls us to live in with each other, where we encourage one another, where we also bring, as led by the Spirit, some gentle challenge to be all that we can be as sons and daughters of the living God. You know, again, a good lion, like the people of Israel, we have a purpose. It's not just to receive, but it's to be a conduit, a vessel through which others, then the least and the lost among us, come to know Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, we wander. Sometimes we wander for a few years. Some wander for a lifetime. And I'm not just talking about here, of course, individuals, importantly, yes, but also community of faith. There is some pruning in the land, the church, if you will. And the pruning is, it's just not okay for the Spirit for us just to gather. But we are called to live into the fullness of God's redemptive potential for us individually and, yes, as community of faith. Again, for the least and the lost. And you see, this kingdom, this fullness of life, this promised land, if you will, it's a gift of God. It's to be received, right? We say the kingdom of God is not earned, but it's received because the kingdom is among us. As we'll see, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But it's bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. But we do need to claim it, receive it, you know, step out into it, live into it, if you will. And what is it that holds us back? What is it that holds us back from entering into that fullness that God has for each and every one of us? Let me use this acrostic, if you will. We're going to do some of this stuff today. Other gods. What keeps us from stepping out of the wilderness, whatever that wilderness is, into the promised land? Other gods. We know about the people of Israel, right? They came and they lived amongst people. They had one true living God, but yet they came and they lived among other people, and they started to then worship the gods of the folks they were living in close with. You know, we find ourselves, by virtue of this world in which we live, sometimes bowing down, sometimes worshiping other gods, if you will. I mean, I can list the usual suspects, of course, you know, financial matters. We all like to add zeros. We have possessions, things that money can buy, you know, the car, the home, you know, the stuff, that kind of deal. And again, not bad in and of themselves. Can deliver a hit for a time, right? That's good, you know. But it all keeps us so busy and distracted, wandering from leveraging our life for that which counts for eternity. And these things ultimately, even though they can give you a hit for a time, they ultimately cannot satisfy. I was listening to a little video from John Piper. Anybody know John Piper? He's talking about kind of wandering and kind of a tragic life. And when I share with you a tragic life, you're going to think, there's nothing tragic about that. Well, he talks about this couple, and was in Reader's Digest, and told of this couple. The heading was Retire Early, and described this couple from the East Coast. They had done well financially, and now he 59, she 51, are going to retire to Florida. And it shows them living the good life. A good life of cruising along in the Atlantic. The good life of playing softball. The good life of walking along the beach each and every day and collecting shells. Sounds good, doesn't it? But leveraging your life, the last chapter of your life, living in the fullness of your redemptive potential, and you come before God. God, look at, I've really honed my swing. God, look at, here's my shell collection. It's a subtle shift, is it not? Other gods, distracted. The second thing that keeps us from stepping out of the wilderness into the promised land is untruth. I did check this out. Untruth is a word. It sounds kind of funny. Untruth. Think of the people of Israel. We read of them, and we hear of this God, the one true living God who has chosen them from all the other people of the world, delivering them from their bondage, being with them, providing for them, protecting them in the time of their wilderness, giving them a rich and abundant land, and yet somehow their thinking becomes foggy, and they become unclear. They live in the untruth of who God is and how God is God for them. I am the Lord your God, and yet they fail to hear. You know, we can sometimes believe some of the darndest things. We can sometimes have pockets of thinking that are just not true. I hear smart, faithful, wonderful people, including myself, because of this world, because of the evil one, and because of our own sinful flesh, our thinking can become kind of off. I challenge you, I challenge me to continue to come before the Lord, as it's said here, to meditate, to chew on, you know, the Word of God, and examine the thinking, some of the notions we have in light of the truth of God's Word. You know, what we believe determines our behavior, does it not? Untruth keeps us, you know, from stepping out of that wilderness into the fullness of life. And the third thing is T is for terror. That might be a little strong. Fear. Do you think Joshua had a certain amount of fear or terror? He lived in the shadow and watch this tower, this paragon of faith, if you will, Moses, lead. The Lord's first words to him, you heard it, in verse 2. God says, "My servant Moses is dead. Now you proceed. Now you lead these people." I'm sure. Moses, me, fill the shoes of Moses? Joshua must have thought, are you kidding me? The one who, you know, with his staff and mighty outstretched arm with the power of God plagued Pharaoh and the Egyptians and brought us forth and continued to absorb all the rancor of these people for some 40 years and continued to remain faithful. Just had that one bad day when he struck the rock instead of speaking into it. Pretty much otherwise a clean slate, huh? For sure. Holy cow. Now my servant Moses is dead. Joshua, you. Oh. What causes you a certain amount of fear or terror, if you will? I was speaking with somebody in one of these exercise classes I attend, and she was telling me about this has been on her heart for a number of years, to create this retail space and have it kind of be like a village, if you will, with health and physical workout and diet things and retail and the like, you know, kind of a culture, if you will. And yet she says, I've been engaged in this for 4 or 5 months. I still have my doubts and my fears. She says, I'm being attacked with respect to my identity. You're not up for the task. Who are you to think you're going to do something of this nature? Huh? Yeah, it may be an overwhelming sense of grief. It may be just resentments, and you're just locked in. Pastor Matt, the younger one, shared about some resentments held him back for a period of time. It may be the fear of just really peeling back the layers that protect you from some wound. And we all have them, do we not? What keeps me at times is approval. I won't share the backstory, you all know it, but approval, people-pleasing. I'm a driven person by nature, you know. I like metrics. I like to see forward movement, tangible results. And I start to, you know, feel like, wow, I don't know if people are really, you know, approving of me. I can kind of just start to find myself a little immobilized. Yet God has called me in this time and place to further his kingdom, to leverage my life accordingly. Step out. Courage is not about the absence of fear. And you've heard this. Courage is not about the absence of fear. It's what we do in the face of our fears. In spite of whatever fears Joshua had, he stepped out. He stepped out of the wilderness, took the step, moved forward, led the people into the promised land. And I want you to look, I want to have three more here things in terms of he was encouraged in three very important ways. So he then, you know, stepped out and stepped into it. Encouraged in three important ways. The first one, he was encouraged by his commission. Again, he was with Moses for all those years. And he watched Moses lead and he learned of Moses. And Joshua knew at this point in time that now he had been called to take the torch and to lead the people forth. He had a strong sense of his identity by virtue of his calling, that he was God's man in this time and place for a specific task, and that is to lead the people forward. He was encouraged by his commission, his sense of identity, his calling, and the fact that he had been commissioned to go. And then Moses, the wise man that Moses was, laid hands on him and transferred his authority and his wisdom onto Joshua, locked and loaded, ready to go. That sense of knowing, you know, a calling that you have, that you're commissioned to go and make disciples, your sense of identity then as a child, for this particular time and place, to go and make disciples, that you're commissioned. Jesus authorizes us. He gives us a powerful word that we incarnate, that we speak, that will not return void. And we go forward in that commissioning, in that command. Do you think we're going to lose? The only way you lose is by not stepping out. God goes with you. He hems you in behind and before. He's commissioned you. You've got a strong sense of your identity. You're beloved of him. He's going to watch over you. He's going to take care of you. That engenders certainly courage and faith. That's why the father here could say to Joshua, be courageous. I'm not like conjure up all kinds of, you know, courage and whatnot. No, it's already a done deal. I'm giving this to you. Now step into it. He was commissioned. So are we. Secondly, he was encouraged by God's promises. I mean, we've heard, I don't need to reiterate, the promise is continually reiterated. You know, the land's going to be yours. We see here that he continued, Joshua did, to continue to meditate on the word of God here. He knew the promises. He knew God was faithful. He continued to immerse himself in the word. He was so fortified by God's word and the very promises and the faithfulness of God. So then you read, like in verse 6, God says, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong, be courageous. Be strong, be courageous. Amen to that. It's your father's good pleasure. Look at the promises God has given us, if we could. The promises here. We got some promises. I think we got some promises. This is Luke 12, and Jesus is now fully engaged with his followers. They've maybe gotten their noses bloodied a bit. You know, they've been whacked a few times, starting to maybe struggle a little bit. Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, his reign and rule among you and through you. Next one. This is in the Gospel of John. Speaking of Jesus, he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The word of God, when received, the Spirit blesses. He gives the Spirit without measure. Then finally, the next one from Ephesians. Paul is saying, you know, right at the onset, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You know, blessed us with forgiveness. Blessed us with the promise that he goes before us and hems us in behind. Blessed us that he's given us the kingdom. We live in the very promises. And as I said, as we receive these promises, it strengthens, it fortifies faith. Our strength and our faith is strengthened. And then we start to behave accordingly. Third, finally, Joshua's encouraged. Courage. By God's presence. Reading from verse 5. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. The Lord says to you and me as he calls us to be a disciple and calls us to make disciples. Lo, I am with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I see people of faith behaving as people of faith because of their commission, their sense of calling, because God's promises, God's faithfulness, and the very presence of God. Two things kind of in closing as I wind up. One person I'm thinking of, she's had a few challenges at work lately. You can say there's been some pruning, maybe some new awareness. This is a person of faith. They're willing to look inward and say, hey, maybe there's some things I've not really handled as well as I could. And this person said, I'm owning that. That's courage, isn't it? Willing at this point in time to make some adjustments to course. Willing to face some things perhaps I haven't been on the top of my game. To step out and into. That's the promised land. I can say for the last few weeks or several weeks, I've been encouraged. Little by little, there is this sense of, and that's why I talk about it all the time, the growing sense of my identity and what that means for them in terms of call. A strong sense of call, my task, what I'm to do. I see the promises after some pruning, you know, after having just walked by faith, not by sight. I've seen some breakthrough. I've seen the kingdom among us. I've seen people in whom God is powerfully at work, leveraging their lives and making a difference, you know, in the least and the lost. It's my good pleasure, the Lord says, to give you the kingdom. We have the gift. We know who we are, a growing sense of who we are. We have the commission goal. We have the promises. All of God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. The kingdom will advance. The word will not return void. We have the very presence. God hems us in. The question is, will we wander? Or will we step out of the wilderness into, and sometimes it just begins with one step. What is the one step right now God is calling you to make to step out and into? And God is saying the same thing that he said to Joshua so many years ago, verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong, be courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And amen to that promise, huh?